Randy, would you lead us to the throne, please?
Promises I can't.
Thank you, Olivia, and instrumentalists. Mr. Gradwell, I fully enjoyed your cello. Thank you very much. Paul and Betty Hiscock, I don't know if how much you folks know about them. I thought I would introduce you a little bit more to them. Paul and Betty, we were talking a little bit before, and they got married in 1971, right? 53 years. She's put up a lot, hasn't she? I know. My wife's put up the same period of time. Yeah. A week after they got married, of course, they went on their... got married a week after graduation from school. Then they went on a week's honeymoon. And the following week, they began ministering up in the Detroit area as a youth pastor. They were there a year, and the Lord very providentially moved them to Birch Terrace Baptist Church, where Dr. Felber was pastoring. And we know something about Dr. Felber, right? He coupled them together as two couples, and it was just a match made in heaven spiritually, right? It just beautifully. I had the opportunity of meeting Paul at a pastor's meeting in 1984, and I literally fell in love with his music, his teaching, and have fully enjoyed it ever since. They have their ministry, of course, is song and sermon here in the Midwest, and we have the privilege of being part of that ministry. You left Birch in when, 1998? I left the ministry at
2 days before 9/11.
2001. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That was longer than I had thought. It's 3 years. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it is our privilege now to have Paul minister to us. Come and speak to our hearts, Paul.
Well,
Well, good morning. I'm trying to figure out where I left off last I was up here. And good to see you this morning. I'm trying to lay out the crowd here. Okay, checking all the sinners saved by grace, including the one up here. And trust that this morning will be a blessing to you. I'm sure it will. I brought this message many times. It's one of those messages that I think needs to be repeated every year or two. So if you've somehow or another heard this before, so Brother Pat, where did you go? There you are. Honestly, I'm going to pick it up where you left off Wednesday night. So, okay, I mean, he was just about treading on my corner here, all right? And just about getting awful close, but that's just fine. So forth. That's right, right. A little bit about tonight, all right? If you come back tonight, I'm going to do what I've been doing all month. In fact, back into June, is we've been out in some churches, and I will be out next week as well. I've been asked by churches to do a kind of some God and country services here, patriotic things. And I thought, should I do that or switch gears? And I thought, well, I'm kind of in the mode. But as events keep unfolding in our nation this past month, I think it's proper for us Christians, I think it's good to get our vision clear back on God and put our country back into context under this book. And so that's going to be the theme tonight. It's not going to be rah, rah, rah for a candidate, but it's going to be let's see the Bible basis for the many patriotic songs we sing and some of the untold stories. And I'll preach along the way. And if you've never been in one of these kind of services, they're very, very different, but I hope you will find it a blessing. I'm sure you will take some things with you that you will remember, and you'll never quite sing the songs the same way again. I enjoy preaching on speech, singing. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I kind of take a little bit of liberty, and I seem to do well with it by putting it into my own application for today. For I think it is also true that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth also singeth. And so we talk about what is we are interested in, and we speak in a certain way of things that we are interested in, and so it is with music. I'll not be preaching on music this morning. We'll put it aside. But if you have a little piece of paper, it's not going to take much this morning, about the size of a gum wrapper. It's all you need, all right? So pass your pack of gum around, whatever. That's all you need. The back of the bulletin is ample room for what you need here this morning. Because I'm going to preach to you, and I'm going to get you to help me here this morning on studying through the four rules of communication. It applies to everybody here. It applies to me even more so because I'm up here trying to teach this to you. We are going to base our message here this morning on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. And I will be wandering around here and there and so forth, but you don't need to be chasing me all over the place, because all I want you to do this morning is get the four rules down. And in fact, I'm not even interested in you writing the four rules down. I'm more interested in getting you to memorize the four rules. We will do that by the time we leave here. All right? We will learn something here this morning. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 25, reads, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we open up your word, work through it, meditate on it, think on it, make some applications, give us insight. And I know that this morning I'm really not the one that's preaching to these people. It's your Holy Spirit that is dealing with us all. And I pray that you would help us to be in tune with your word, help us to guard our speech, help us to be careful what we say. And I pray that everything that we say here today would be filled with grace. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When it comes to godly communication, we have two basic goals here. Now, don't waste space on your gum wrapper for this, unless you've got many gum wrappers. Two basic goals. What are we trying after this morning? Well, number one, we're after some unity and peace. Ephesians 4 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Isn't it wonderful to congregate together with people and be at peace with God and peace with each other? Peace with our souls. Be at peace with the Holy Spirit. And so as we work through these four rules here this morning, we are purposing to build on unity and peace among ourselves. Number two, we want to have kind and respectful speech. But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we want to have unity and peace, and we want to have kind and respectful speech. Well, as I start to unpack these four rules as found in Ephesians, there are some things to remember. One is it takes time to absorb the four rules into life. They are easy to learn, as we will find this morning, as we will memorize them together. Really easy. But it's going to take every one of us here a lifelong challenge to master. We're not going to leave here this morning making an instant evangelistic decision and our life is changed to a different channel and we are all of a sudden different. But we will grow in grace and we will change. We will become more like the Son of God. Our tongues will change, our thinking will change, and it will be a process. It will take us all of life to accomplish this. Don't be discouraged. Number two is we must make every effort to improve on our part of communication. I cannot control what you say. I cannot manipulate what you say. I cannot limit what you say. I cannot put words in your mouth, and I cannot change your attitude. At best, all I could do is somehow govern my own speech, and I don't do a very good job of that. But I can focus on my part, and I can seek, by God's help, to improve my part of communication. And really, that kind of gives you a relief because you don't have to bear the burden for what everybody else says in your life. But you do have some responsibility over what you say and how you say it. Number three, you can expect some testings. Now, they wouldn't come unless I'd have brought this forth this morning. But sure as I'm standing here, and as sure as you are sitting there, and as sure as we are going over these four rules, you can expect to be tested this week. God may bring forth some tests and Satan may bring forth some temptations. But one way or another, look out, it's going to happen. It may happen before the end of this day is over. Testing is good, folks. God wants us to pass the test. And even if we make some failings, may we learn from the failures to get it better and more right the next time. It's really a win-win situation here if you don't leave yourself flat on the floor in despair. And so just expect testing to come and be prepared. Here's your opportunity to pass the test. I like number four. Do right even if others fail. Do right even if others fail. If others around us fail in keeping these four principles, that doesn't give us the right to throw out the biblical pattern for a Christian speech and to follow their ways and so forth. Now, may I pause here to say, folks, it doesn't take very long to look around, and I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking about out in the ungodly world in which we live. It doesn't take very long at all to see how not to do it. And because it is not done right outside of the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit or God's instruction, doesn't make it right that we can throw out God's rules and say, I'm going to play on their turf. I'm going to play by their rules. But we are still under God's rules, and we are still there that God can bless if we follow his pattern. Number five, communication is a people problem. It is not a position problem. These principles apply to everybody, no matter who you are or no matter what you do in life. They still apply. They apply to the employer as well as to the employee. They apply as well to the teacher as to the student. They apply to the parent as well as the child. They apply to the king, and they apply to those of us who feed the king. They apply to everybody. And there are really no exceptions. And that fact that allows me to follow God's rule regardless of who I'm around. Number six is something good to keep in mind. Mastering these four rules will not guarantee a total resolve of all problems and all differences. We still live in a sinful world, and we still have self to deal with. And after all is said and done, there still are some genuine, honest differences, like what color are we going to paint the Sunday school room? You know, what should we do with the carpet in the house? You know, we've got some choices to make, and we've got some freedoms to make. And just because we have these four rules doesn't mean that everybody's going to be on the same page, and we're all going to be clones of each other. But it does mean that we can communicate civilly. And it does mean that we can communicate in a way that's Christ-honoring. And it does mean that we can communicate with a testimony for Christ's sake. Some of us are here in this study here this morning. And some of us may be here, and some of us may be up here. But I don't know about you, but every time I go through this, I think of things about me, and I haven't reached perfection yet, you know that. And But there's a few times that I've managed to do it well. So please be assured, even in an ideal situation here, we're going to have some conflicts. We're going to have some difficulties. But going back to Wednesday night service, Brother Pat, we do put off the old ways and we put on Christ's ways. And speech is part of it. Some of you can pause right now before we get into the four rules, and you can remember times in your life in which somebody has said something which is damaging, which is hurtful. It may be right, it may be not right. It may be truthful, it may not be truthful. But I tell you what, it doesn't take any of us very long at all here to roll back in the memory of our mind things that were said which are harmful. Words are really harmful. In fact, I would dare say that most wars have not started with cannon shots or bombs or missiles. Most wars have started with words. Words hurt. But may we purpose here this morning to learn some four rules here to help us speak with grace and blessing and work through problems without adding further damage and hurt. Well, I'm looking at our group here this morning. I would like to I have four rules, and I would like to section off our congregation into four sections, okay? I think you see where this is going. So that means right down the middle here, I've got you're this way, you're this way, you're this way, all right? And let's make this group one, okay? And you people will find why this is group one. You're ready to shame, all right? This is group two, all right? Group two. This is group three, duh. And then group, very, very good, very good. We're there, all right? So rule number one over here, all right? Rule number one, this is your rule to help the rest of them remember. And remember, these people have a hard time remembering rule number one, but you've got it down pat, all right? Rule number one is, drum roll please, be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. One of the most basic requirements for good communication is honesty. Not easy to be honest, frankly. It's not fun because it shames ourselves. We open ourselves up to more criticism. And so there's got to be some honest listening and some honest speech if problems are to be resolved. The thoughts of the mind are only known to oneself. I really don't do well at all trying to read your mind. I've got no computer port on the side that I could download my thoughts. We're having a hard enough time with intelligent, today. But I tell you, that's just bad enough, but this is worse. Because this has built-in deception. And so our deceiving mind has a way of bringing things into the communication that just aren't quite honest. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which was in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2:11 says. It's only God that can really read our mind. And I can't read your mind. In fact, you can't read my mind either. And we as sinners have a tendency, at least, to when we are putting forth an honest front, we tend to kind of shape the facts in a certain way, or don't present the whole story and kind of put it in the background and kind of reshuffle the situation a little bit in such a way that is, and what I am saying is absolutely true. But I'm not quite telling the whole story, and I'm not telling it in its context. And so I am allowing my truth, my partial truth, to mislead you to come to a different conclusion than what really happened. And guess what? I didn't lie. I didn't lie at all. Everything I said was true. Everything I said was true. But something was left out. The context was left out. And so we find ourselves, number one, having to be honest. There's more in communication than just words, as you know. There's facial gestures, there's hand gestures, there's the tone of voice and so forth. And all these things are helpful, but they are not something which can be totally conclusive, because somebody may grimace with their face and we can misinterpret that to mean something else. But I tell you what, words are important. So honesty is more than just lying. What happens when we are not honest? We start losing respect. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. It's a bad thing to speak dishonestly. There's a lack of agreement when we're not honest. Could two walk together lest they be agreed? We got to be agreed in the facts. There's certainly a lack of peace. There's a lack of understanding. There is a lack of unity, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And so if we leave out some of the facts, or try to move the facts and shade them and kind of cut them out this way and so forth and so on, we say that something's missing here, something's not right. So there's part of the puzzle that's missing. There's a lack of unity. And when there's not honesty, the communication can degenerate into some pretty ugly words, and there's a lack of dignity. But the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. So our first premise here this morning is a group over here. It is what?
Be honest.
Be honest. Did you get that? They need it over here. Yeah, right. Well, group number two. All right. Rule number two, all right. Be sure to leave room on your gum wrapper here a little bit. Rule number two, keep current. Keep current. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There is this sense of timeliness when it comes to our communication. Don't let the sun go down. Now, that doesn't mean by the time sunset comes, I've got to have everything right in my life with everybody around me. But there is this sense of time is moving on, and we need to watch the time and be current with our issues here. If every once in a while I will hear, so-and-so voted this 7 years ago. Yeah, but that was 7 years ago, and they've changed their mind since then. I hope I'm not held to everything I used to do in my life, because it's not current. That's not where I'm at now. Hopefully I've grown. Hopefully I've learned some things. Hopefully I've changed my mind about some things. Hopefully I'm not the same one I used to be. We used to sing this chorus. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. We've come up with all kinds of crazy verses. Places I used to go, don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Somebody else would holler out another verse. The friends I used to have, don't have them anymore, because there's been a great change since I've been born again. Or the things I used to believe, I don't believe them anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. And if somebody comes to know the Lord, remember that God is at work in their life, and that hopefully they're not going to be how they are now in, say, 3 more years. Now, they may have some current needs, and they may have some past issues, but it's important to keep current rather than accumulating their bad, ugly memories. And so once those issues have been dealt with, covered, and put behind, leave them behind. Because there's plenty enough issues in our life for the day to deal with, let alone me deal with Paul Hiscock yesterday. There are times to hold the tongue. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. There are sometimes in dealing with people and sometimes dealing with their problems, it's best, there are things that could be said. But God give us discernment on when to speak and when to be quiet about something and just let it go for now. Maybe the issue needs to be dealt with right then and there. Maybe it needs to be set aside for a while. There are no hard and fast rules here other than we need God's direction. Because we are to make some righteous judgments. The Bible does say, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments. He does say we do need to make righteous judgments. I hope if you come up to a stop sign or a red light that you're going to make a judgment. You got to make a choice. And if you don't, there could be some really bad consequences. So there are times to hold the tongue. There are times to make some judgments. But there are some times that in our current events that we need to move on. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And sometimes we just, for the moment at hand, give this a forgiving spirit because there may be greater issues at hand, there may be greater issues behind the situation. Sometimes we need to receive a weaker brother. I remember I was going out on visitation with one a new family in our church. And I recounted this story with him many, many years later. He was all excited about being in a new church and so forth. And he liked music, and he was just telling me about all his favorite music. He was so excited to serve the Lord, he came out on visitation. So we're driving around trying to invite people out to our church and so forth. And he said, one of my favorite gospel albums is a Jesus Christ Superstar, which is really a blasphemous rock opera. He didn't know. And I thought, what am I going to do here? For the time being, I let it go. He's a new Christian. He hadn't caught on yet. It wasn't a music issue there. It was he just didn't have enough discernment to know that there's a piece of music that is designed to be blasphemous, not designed to be a blessing. I let it go. But I didn't let it go long. And we kept continuing to go on visitation, and after a while, he said, the music here is different. Yes, it is different than Jesus Christ Superstar. And in time, I never had to tell the issue to him. He ended up throwing it out. He grew in the Lord. Those are difficult calls to make. But God in His Holy Spirit sometimes gives us the prompt to say something or to realize there are times when it's right to hold our tongue. we could get angry over things and become angry over an issue, but Bible does not say anger in itself is wrong, sinful, wicked, is what we're angry about. But anger is given to us as an emotion to attack the problems. It is not given to us to attack and destroy people. Which will take us into number three here in a little bit. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And so there are times in which we need to speak up. There are times in which we need to be quiet and move on and try to deal with a greater issue at hand. Here's some questions that I think are helpful in knowing what to do. Number one, do I have the facts right? I may not have all the facts needed to help somebody through a situation. Few times we do, because nobody lives in my shoes, and I don't live in your shoes. I don't know the whole situation you're living in. I don't know the whole situation. You don't know the whole situation I'm living in. It just doesn't come off like a 1, 2, 3 easy as pie situation. It takes a while to figure it out. But do I have the facts right? Number two, should I hide it? Should my love be covered? Should my love cover a multitude of sins and give somebody a chance to grow? Is my attitude right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Number four to me is personally a hard one. Is the timing right? There's somebody that you need to deal with, somebody you need to talk to, somebody that needs some admonition, maybe somebody needs some correction. What's the right timing? You don't want to do something dumb here. And you don't want to stir somebody up in anger. But what's the right timing as I approach somebody and try to deal with the situation? A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. It's just good to say something at the right time. Are my words loving, but speaking the truth in love? And it goes beyond the exact words that we use and say, but it's also with the tone of voice and how it is said. Most importantly, have I asked God's help? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Ever been in a situation where you're dealing with somebody and you don't know all what to say, or all of a sudden some words are coming out your mouth that you never planned on, and this is for the good, but a verse pops into your mind, or some admonition from Scripture, or something to guard against, or something that goes ahead and say, and you never had it planned out in your mind that way, but in the battle of conversation, as you're dealing with people's hearts and souls and minds, God gives you some thoughts and words to say. Have you ever had that? It's amazing. God just steps in and helps to communicate his will to people through us lowly servants. So far we've got two rules here. The first rule is
be honest.
Be honest. Y'all got it? Betty, it's. And I like number three. You folks are really being attentive. We shall be out by 2:30 this afternoon. We're picking up speed though. We really are here, all right? I want you to learn these. So far we've got be honest, keep current, and number three is attack the problem and not the person. You should be about two-thirds of the way through your gum wrapper notes here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is to the good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Words can harm. James said in chapter 3, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a manner a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We've all got it. Words can harm. But people are not to be attacked. God has created every one of us. Even the vilest of sinners is a being with a soul that's been created by God. Every person that we cross on the street, as vile of a sinner as they are and may be, God still sent his son to die for their sin. To God, there is worth and there is value in the human soul. He died for it. Matthew 5 says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Raca is a term which is used to tell them they're just worthless. It doesn't take much time at all to listen to the buzz of the world to hear people tell how others are worthless. And so we are admonished from Ephesians chapter 4. The words can harm, but people are not to be attacked, because the end result is we are attacking the one that created them. We are telling another person they're not very worthwhile, but to God they are. But we must choose words that will help us solve problems, words that are solution orientated. This takes a little bit of practice. For instead of saying, you did this, point to the problem and say, here's what we need to do. Let's get it fixed. Let's work on the problem. Let's find a solution, whether it's to me or those around me, or do I dare say a nation as a whole? Seek to solve the problems instead of tearing the other person down. Well, we work through, and I like that one because I think that's the hardest one for me to conquer. Maybe you would find the others a greater challenge, but I find that rule number 3 is very prevalent no matter where I look. And I got to remember as a Christian how my example and how my speech ought to be. So rule number 1 is, what is it over here, group? Be honest. Okay? Can't you just see the dishonesty over here? as you say that. All right. Rule number two is keep current. Work on the problems of today. But this group over here, I can tell it. They're always nee 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 nee. Okay, but it is what? Attack the
problem
and not the
person.
Would you agree with that? Well, so far, all right. Maybe we're saving the best to the last. I don't know. They're really anticipating here. All right. Rule number four is act, don't react. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I think the greatest illustration I see around here is, say, our local fire department. They get a call from 911 or whatever, and they are called to a place of emergency. It may be a car wreck, or it may be a house on fire. But they got themselves all positioned to hop in those fire trucks and scream out the driveway and get down the road and find this location and give whatever help is needed. They are called to act. They are called to act. But once those firemen get on the scene and they hop out of their fire trucks, these guys are really trained. They know how to do this. They immediately assess the situation. One guy may start pulling hose off the truck. Another guy may position the truck to block off traffic. They know what they're doing. They are acting, but they are not jumping up and down, screaming, saying, "Oh, somebody's hurt, or this house is on fire. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do?" They're not losing their cool. They are acting. They're not reacting. 2 weeks ago, I brought this message on Sunday morning, like this. And it was an interesting service. They combined two churches, two small churches out in the country, and they combined two congregations. So one congregation sat over here, one congregation sat over here. And I noticed one fellow back there was really, really attentive as I was going through these four points, which were, and then attack the, and not the, but over here is act, don't. And he was very, very attentive. And he, as we were going through the food line, this was a Baptist church, see. And we were going through the food line, and he took me aside. He took me aside. He says, I teach a course to emergency responders. He says, I teach it out of four prepared manuals. Did you get it? Four prepared manuals. He says, it was not intended to be a Bible study, but he says, the four books are the four points we teach emergency responders. Be honest. Keep current. Attack the fire, not the homeowner that started it at that point. And then act, don't react. Astounding. But we find ourselves reacting and don't give pause enough. And it's been happening ever since Genesis chapter 3, when God confronted Adam and he said, God, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, well, she gave me the tree and I did eat. He was reacting. He didn't step up and say, God, I know I did it. He already had a plan worked out. In his deceptive mind, he already started to shift the blame, started to draw attention over here, and he reacted instead of was acting. And so we are to act. And so through Christ's Spirit, we can learn to be kind. we can learn to be tenderhearted and we can learn to be forgiving. We are not only stuck in our sinful nature, but we're stuck in some really, really bad habits of life. And it takes a while for God to change our heart and for God to change our habits. But I tell you what, it's a whole lot easier for God to change us than it is for continuing to kick the prick of sin. To continue to say, I think I can do it my way. To resist God and his pattern for life. But we have this promise, there hath no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Do not we have Philippians 4:13 memorized? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Listening and lovingly desiring to communicate to solve problems goes with each rule. To be God's kind of person is really essential, and to have a right testimony is really essential in following these four principles. Some of you by now may be feeling kind of uncomfortable, because as we've worked through these things, your memory and your mind is playing out things that you've said, other people have said to you, and so forth. And it's really troubling. I know it is. Frankly, it's troubling to me to go over this type of material. It's probably more troubling to me than it is to say it than it is to you to listen to it. Because I am made out of flesh and I'm a normal person, and I'm standing up in front of you with all of my hypocrisies and all of my failings and my immaturity, telling you how to do it when I have the same struggles. So I know what you're going through. There are few times in life in which I have felt that I've been hitting on all four cylinders really, really good in a situation. I'm not batting 1,000 here. Few times, and I can remember those times. Most other times, I didn't do too good here. I said something I shouldn't have said, or I should have taken the opportunity to say something, or somehow I just failed in one of these four points. But I want you to know, for me, I felt like I've improved. I feel like I have gained some ground. I feel like I have been reminded of God. And my life is not yet over. And so maybe there's a little bit more time, Paul Hiscock, to achieve God's rule and my life. But I know this, that as I have pursued these four rules, I'm not where I used to be. I've grown a little bit. I think in my spirit I am reminded of these things, and I am continually in effort to do so. What's it going to do to you? Not going to make you perfect We haven't reached that place yet, but we have a goal before us with our speech to strive toward those things which are excellent for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you will pursue these things and be patient with others, may God give you a better testimony. May God make you a better employee or an employer. May God make you a better congregation member. May God make you a better neighbor. And as God allows you by His grace to improve and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can look back and you could say, you know, I may need to be here. I'm only here, but I used to be down here. Our invitation here this morning, I'm going to call it very different. Wouldn't it be neat to have an invitation which says, all right, all of you sinners which have been convicted on one of these 4 points, come down here and we will pray for you, brother. Wouldn't that be neat? You know? Yeah. But I have a better idea. Hey, we got 4 sections here. Pick one out that you are really failing in and move over to that section so can we see all the liars over here and all the... No, that's just not going to work either. That's just not going to work. You're seeing where I'm going here. Let me tell you what. You know where the real invitation is? The real invitation is when we dismiss our service. The real invitation is when we go to work tomorrow or go to school tomorrow. The real invitation is when we go to the checkout counter. The real invitation is when we watch our wonderful network news or whatever, and we start catching how not to do it. But we determine by God's grace, I'm going to let God have my tongue. I'm going to let God have my speech. I'm going to let God have my mind. And I'm going to ask God by His grace to allow me to have a right Christian testimony and be a salt of the earth by doing it God's way. And I think that's really our invitation this morning. It's not kind of an invitation. It is a reminder that you will go out and be tested this week. Pass the test. And if you fall on your face, get up and get going again. And when you fall on your face again, just get up and go again. And allow God to use His sweet spirit to be a blessing to others. I would like to close our service, though, with the song we are so familiar with.